I'm Katie.
And I'm Anissa.
And we're the news editors of the Oberlin Review. And this is the Week in Review. Each week we'll look at the biggest headlines from our paper and talk about them.
So the first thing that we're going to talk about today is the Gibson's appeal that was just filed on Tuesday. So the college announced that it would appeal the jury verdict from back in June that sided with Gibson's Bakery and against the college and Vice President and Dean of Students Meredith Raimondo.
The announcement came on Tuesday, October 8th.
The appeal comes after the college was denied a retrial at the county level last month.
This was announced in an email by Chris Canavan, who is the chair of the Board of Trustees.
Yeah, and the decision actually was made via a vote by the board. So the college sent out a press release in announcing this, in which they quote one of the college's attorneys, First Amendment attorney Lee Levine. And he said, quote, "The verdict and judgment in this case set a precedent that endangers free speech on campuses and for all Americans. The jury was allowed to award substantial damages for speech that is protected by the Constitution. The case should absolutely be reviewed by an appellate court."
And we can read out a quote from one of the Gibson's attorneys, Lee Plakis, that we quoted in our news article this week. So, quote, "Given the repeated attempts by Oberlin College to discount the jury's verdict, their decision to appeal comes as no surprise. But despite the college's attempt to reframe this as a First Amendment issue, the law and the facts of this case remain clearly on the side of the Gibson family. The law and the jury's verdict both remind our country that claimed free speech has its limits, even on a college campus." And I can read a quote from Chris Canavan from the email sent out to members of the Oberlin campus community. So, quote, "The college and the town of Oberlin have been vital to one another since 1833, and we value our long-term relationships with the town, citizens, and businesses. We also have a mission to support free inquiry, allow faculty and students to ask difficult questions, and to reach and express their own conclusions. The judgment in this case effectively punishes us for doing just that. In the meantime, the college will continue to focus on bridging divides in our community and pursuing academic excellence, because an intellectually vibrant Oberlin makes a difference for good in our community and the world."
The thing about appeals like this is that it's unlikely that the court will make a ruling for at least a year, if not longer. So it's definitely going to be a more long-term thing before we hear anything else about this.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the nature of legal proceedings is that, you know, usually takes a really long time to happen. But it's interesting to hold that in comparison to the fact that as students, we're so transient here. We're only here for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. Katie, do you want to talk about your story for this week?
Yeah, sure. So I wrote about the community impact report, which was released actually back in September, on September 25th. After going through it thoroughly and with a lot of intention this week, we wrote a brief about it. But essentially, the report is saying that Oberlin will contribute $143 million in spending to Oberlin, the town, as well as just the greater Oberlin community, so meaning Lorain County. And this $143 million is broken down into direct and indirect spending. And how that is calculated was using a program by a consulting firm that specifically does economic impact reports called Implan. And Implan is a firm that has been retained in the past by other institutions of higher education, as well as governments and a couple of nonprofits. And, you know, I think the interesting thing about this is the timing. When I wrote the story and I, you know, was looking at all the numbers and the narrative that was presented in the report, I was really curious, like, why September 25th, end of September? I think coincidentally it happened just right before the notification of the appeal. I don't want to make any claims that they're connected in any way, but I'm just curious as a journalist as to why right now, and like, what is the connection to when Oberlin and the implementation of the AAPR final recommendations, when the report didn't even talk about AAPR or when Oberlin. So it was very interesting. I mean, APR, I guess, was more internal budgetary things that Oberlin as an institution can do to save money, whereas the impact report was saying what Oberlin already contributes, both in terms of economics, but also culturally, and just also in terms of community service. So it was an interesting piece to write.
The final story we're going to talk about today is about CDS, Campus Dining Services. Right now, they're implementing new strategies to sort of go through this self-evaluation process to find out any possible changes to their dining facilities.
So one of the aspects of this story is that this week, the campus is inviting architects to come to campus and to assess the current state of dining spaces on campus and seeing how these spaces can better accommodate students, especially because they've gone through such massive changes over the last few years.
Yeah, so one of the things in this story that I thought was really interesting is that 4 years ago, there were about 1,600 meal swipes registered at DeKalb every day. And now that number often surpasses 3,000. So it's almost twice the amount of swipes every day. And that sort of brings up, you know, this question of, obviously, DeKalb is a very convenient place for people to go, but essentially it was designed to sort of be like a 7-Eleven. Like it doesn't have the space or the capacity to handle that much use, I guess.
Do you want to talk about Sally?
So Sally, it's a make-your-own-salad machine in DeKalb, and it was installed this year to replace the old salad bar that was out. You basically go up to her and you press what you want, and it spits out salad. So DeKalb has actually added another Sally machine this week to see if that helps to meet student demand better. From what I understand, Sally was pretty busy.
She really was.
Yeah, there's a lot long lines for Sally. So hopefully this helps alleviate Sally One's burden. So that was the week in review. Now back to the weekly.